This is Racing HQ on your racing leader Sky Sports Radio. It's a quarter past nine this morning. A big session of trials out at Randwick. Winx, the rising five-year-old mare, turns five on Monday, the horse's birthday. We haven't seen her since she won the Doncaster by two lengths there on April 2 earlier this year. Earlier this morning, she went around in a trial over 850 metres and obviously was ridden by Hugh Bowman.
At the 200 metres, Smart Volatility, the grey. He goes to the lead from Southern Legend, Cosmic Cube, Manolo Blahnik. Winks given a quiet time back in behind them, but it's Smart Volatility in front near home from Cosmic Cube, and Smart Volatility comes down to win the trial. Smart Volatility from Cosmic Cube, Southern Legend, and look at Winks run through the line, the champion mare. Her work was pleasing late. Then Saddler's Lake, followed in by Hartnell. Further back was General Leafe getting home along the inside. Magic Hurricane, Tally is well back, and Manolo Blahnik's pulled up quickly going over the line.
Smart Volatility, the big winner from Grafton, goes to Flemington to run tomorrow week. Ty England going down there took the second trial on the Kensington track by three quarters of a length. Second was Cosmic Cube. The leader, Southern Legend, a lot of improvement to come there, according to Tim Clark, out of the trial this morning. It ran third, and Winx was very much closing fourth, but under no pressure at all at any stage to the inside for Hugh Bowman. That 850 metres was covered in 50.50 seconds. Later on in the show, we'll either talk to Chris Waller or to reporter Nick Ashman to get the story about Winx. In the very next trial, we saw Capitalist go around. Calliope was meant to be in the trial. Calliope for John O'Shea went up in the barrier stalls a couple of times, so they scratched it at the barriers. These were the concluding stages of this trial.
Down to the 200 metres, Scarlet Rain quickly claimed by El Divino and Capitalist the outside. McAvoy is swinging off the gun colt, and Capitalist goes to El Divino with 100 to run. They pair off now. Capitalist the outside has his head in front from El Divino, who sticks on bravely, but Capitalist will scrape in to win. Class trial from both colts. Capitalist beating El Divino, and they've raced away by 6-7 lengths on Scarlet Rain third. Behind those, Tycoon Tara with Boss Lane, Shards and Prized Icon.
So that was the third trial. It was won by Capitalist, just shading the Gabe Waterhouse-trained El Divino. Into third was that leader, Scarlet Rain, for Tim Clark. It broke through the barrier stalls along with El Divino and Calliope prior to that trial. They didn't go fierce or too quickly, but they were put back in, apart from Calliope, who played up in the barrier stalls. So they ran there. Now, I told you Smart Volatility ran 50.5. Capitalist ran 49.9, one by a head with a break to third, 4.5 lengths. So pretty impressive, particularly Capitalist and El Divino. James Harron Bloodstock is online. James, of course, purchased Capitalist. He's right in the ownership of this rising three-year-old. Morning to you, mate.
Good morning, Andrew.
Well, the first trial was very good, and this morning it was probably good to have another horse that really wanted to go with him this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. It was obviously El Divino is very highly regarded, and it was great. You know, he's got a good race day now, so that was a really good to clean out the pipes, and Kieran was delighted with him.
Talking with Peter a couple of times this week, Peter Snowden, the horse has just come back in perfect order.
Yeah, look, he looks terrific. Credit to Peter and the guys at the Spelling Farm did a terrific job. He came back, his coat's gleaming. He's very happy and well in himself, and look, we're excited to get to the races now next Saturday.
So it's a definite, the Missile Stakes is going to be there next week, tomorrow week.
Absolutely, yep. That's been the sort of the plan, and he, you know, after this morning, that was just what Peter wanted to see, and it's a nice race to kick him off in, and Kieran will take the ride. Obviously, he's carrying 51.5 kilos, so Kieran can ride at that weight. And he's had a good feel of him. He's ridden his last two trials, and he's been doing quite a bit of track work on him. So he's got the hang of him now, and I think everyone's just looking forward to getting there.
Yeah, look, it's a different game. You hear it at this time of the year regularly, James. They've got to take that step from a two to a three. But the way that he's come back in those trials, and just talking with the people that are around him all the time, he's just done everything right. We can't wait to see him in a race first up at 1200 tomorrow week.
Yeah, he's, you know, it's always the question mark, do these, you know, do the slipper horses come back, and these two-year-olds that have shown such early brilliance. But, you know, he's Peter's just managed him beautifully the whole way along, and the horse physically is just taking that next step, and mentally just loves his racing and loves being in the stable. So that we're very lucky at this stage, and hopefully continues that way.
With him, what's the plan, James? Is it a couple of runs into a rose?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the timing probably looks like, you know, Saturday week, Missile, into the run to the rose, which gives us 2 weeks into the Golden Rose, sort of third up. So he'll have had his two trials and third up for the Group 1. So that's certainly the plan at the minute. It can naturally change a bit, but at this stage, that's the plan. Yeah.
And in discussions, and obviously you spotted this horse as a yearling very much early on, how far do you think he'll get in distance as a three-year-old?
Look, it's just talking to all the riders, and obviously Peter, you know, this 1400 is probably going to be as far as we're testing. Certainly is our thoughts at the minute. You know, he's a very fast horse, and you know, it's the opportunity to go to the Rose now over 1400, and then you know, bring him back for the Coolmore later on in the spring. So it's that's probably as far as we'll see him sort of this preparation.
A little while later this morning, they're running a little bit late, but a little while later this morning, Mediterranean, another one of yours, James, is trialling another one, Rising Three. What's the expectations on this horse out of its first up win at Canterbury?
Yeah, look, everyone was very positive. Peter's had a good opinion of the horse for a long, long time, and he's really just sort of coming of age. He's by Smart Missile. We're seeing a lot of that breed sort of really starting to hit their straps as they've gotten a little bit older. But look, he's a great attitude. He's a lovely, big, strong horse. And we'll get through today. Today was, you know, he obviously raced very well at Canterbury. Did a few things. Things didn't quite work out, and he was still able to be quite dominant. You know, the trial is to keep him up to the mark today, and if he trials up the expectations, the likelihood is he'll go to the Rosebud.
Okay, that's tomorrow week as well. It's going to be interesting to see how many turn up in that Rosebud, just starting to get around now, and who's going to line up. I've got a feeling it might be Smallish Numbers. I know I My Sword is going to trial with Mediterranean later, but I'm hearing now that it may not run in the Rosebud, it may be saved. So we'll wait and see for the Rosebud next week. James, we thank you for your time. We can't wait to get the slipper winner back to the races, but I reckon you can't wait. I reckon you'd wish it was tomorrow, not tomorrow week.
It would be easier. It would certainly help the sleep patterns, Andrew. But anyway, we're looking forward to it.
No, good luck. Thanks for your time, James.
Thanks very much.
James Harron from the trials out there at Randwick this morning with Capitalist. A little while later, as I say, Oh My Sword is trialling in Trial 8 with Russian Revolution, who we spoke with Peter and Paul Snowden about. We'll give you that hopefully live in this hour. And Mediterranean is trialling in 12. So we'll keep an eye on those through the morning as these good horses start to head to the races through important trials. Early hours of this morning, we saw the Goodwood Cup, a horse that we know ran fifth in the Melbourne Cup last year, started favourite. Big Orange.
Big Orange is not going to get beaten. He's quickening up with half a furlong to go. Big Orange is going to become the first horse since the 90s in Double Trigger, and Big Orange has done it. Brilliant display. Jamie Spencer stands it up in his irons. Wonderful performance from Big Orange. He's proved to be the best stayer around. He was never headed, bravely running from the front in the drizzle here at Goodwood.
Yeah, he was really good. For those that may not have seen it, it was really inclement. It was shifty ground. And I know jockey Jamie Spencer was concerned by the shifty surface, but this horse, he seems to have improved even more on last year, according to Jamie Spencer.
I think last year he was a very good horse, but this year he's improved again. And the fact that he's got stronger, he can sustain his run for a lot longer. You know, they came at him a long way down, and he was very strong to finish. And he does what you ask him to do. I think a big thing today was the ground was shifty, and he'd be better on real fast ground. Real fast ground, he can stretch away.
So I take it with that in mind, you finished fifth in the Melbourne Cup last year. He's an improved, stronger horse this year. Do you think you'd head there with a live chance if he was to run in that race again?
Absolutely, absolutely. I can see no reason why not.
Do you think a race like the Caulfield Cup would suit him?
I wouldn't have thought so, no. You know, I've ridden around Caulfield, and it's an extremely tight track, and he's a horse that likes to gallop. You know, it's 2 miles around here, feel sharp, and I'm a mile and a half around Caulfield. be like a sprinter on Chester.
So your advice to Connections would be Melbourne Cup would be the number one target if you were to head to Australia?
I don't know. Look, Tim, Mr. Gridley and Michael, you know, they've planned him all along. They've got it right all along with the horse, and you know, he was only just beaten in Dubai. He could be having a tremendous season instead of just a great one if he'd won in Dubai. So they've got it right so far with him still.
Yeah, they'll leave it up there. Jamie Spencer will leave it to Michael Bell, the trainer. One owner wants to go to the Melbourne Cup and one doesn't is what we're hearing. At the moment, Big Orange is currently $21 to win the Melbourne Cup. Order of St. George, the favourite, at $11. And as I say, Big Orange in that group at $21 after the win. Racing UK and Ollie Bell also caught up with James McDonald. He rode another winner overnight. That winner for Mark Johnston. He ran third in a group three and he ran second in the opening race. I love this about how he wants to look at the UK in 12 months time, but I also stress, have a listen to the end about how he's seen the last couple of months.
Our plans to come back and do this regularly year on year.
I'd love to, obviously. I'd love to come back a little bit earlier and try and get that fantastic rolling mile guineas meeting in, but obviously it does clash a little bit with us, but if I ever get that opportunity to come, I'll jump at it for sure.
And just a word on Big Orange if I can. Probably hard viewing given that you're on him at Newmarket, but he's obviously going to be talked about as a Melbourne Cup contender. How impressed are you by him in what you've felt and seen today, and how high a chance would you give him in the Melbourne Cup?
Yeah, look, he's his career best form. He's at the right age to compete in that kind of race. Obviously, he's been there and done it before, so it's not a foreign thing for him. He's run fantastically well. You could arguably say he's going better this time. So I couldn't, as long as the weight's acceptable, I think he'll run a cracking race. And you know, he's going to turn up and be thereabouts in every race. So I think the Melbourne Cup's definitely on the cards. Whether a Caulfield Cup is, I don't think it would probably suit him, hence been riding him, but look, that's for the trainer and owners to decide that, but I think he's a genuine Melbourne Cup chance.
And finally, I know you've got a couple more days riding, but how would you sum up your time in England this year?
Profitable, excited, and very enjoyable.
Oh, I love the honesty. It's been profitable. I know he's excited because he's made a bit of money over there, but he's enjoyed it, and who knows what James will do in 12 months' time. So that's the latest on the Goodwood Cup. James McDonald does ride at Goodwood. The race tonight at 11 o'clock is the one we've got to monitor. The winner of the Gloria Stakes gets an exempt start into the Caulfield Cup. That race at 11 o'clock tonight from Goodwood. Well, that's racing. Let's go to a very much serious story. Yesterday, we learnt mid-morning of a track work rider, Kate Nipperis, who had a very bad incident at Warwick Farm on the Pro Ride track yesterday morning. Craig Ritchie, trainer from Warwick Farm, is online. Morning to you, Craig.
Morning, Andrew.
I wish I was talking to you under different circumstances. Can you take us back just to explain to our listeners what unfolded with Kate yesterday morning?
Well, I didn't see the event. However, I was told she was going approximately 15 to the furlong on the inside of the Pro-Ride synthetic track.
Yep.
And just as she was coming to the post, a riderless horse was coming in the opposite direction. And it was she didn't see the horse until it was probably a little late, given the speed she was going.
Yeah.
And the horses just happened to collide. Personally, I think Warwick Farm's a very, very good, safe sort of environment. I think it was just on the point of the corner, probably when the sun was coming up. So there's a few circumstances surrounding it, but it was one of those sort of freak accidents.
It is a freak accident. We'll get to Kate's condition in a moment, but I mean, Kate's concentrating on her horse. I mean, it's so, you just wouldn't be thinking about something coming towards you, would you?
Well, surprisingly, you're right. It's because that's like anything, I suppose. You're so focused on your own animal and what you're doing, and it's very, very easy to do. I've had horses come towards me in the past, and simply was not looking, because you're focusing on how fast you're going, how your horse is working, and you know, as you know, we're so involved and professional in trying to get it accurate in what we're doing with the own animal, we probably forget the more obvious things around us, which is you know, a horse coming towards you. It is highly unusual for that to happen, particularly at Warwick Farm. John McGarr keeps such a close eye on these sorts of things, but you know, obviously these things can happen.
Yeah, no, look, it's as you described it, a freak accident. Now, Kate was taken to, well, she's been to two hospitals. Just take us through the injuries that she suffered out of yesterday.
Well, she's had a small fracture to the base of her neck. Doesn't seem to be a major concern at this stage.
Right.
She's got multiple fractures to her ribs. She has sustained an injury to her lung. I don't believe that they phrased it as a punctured lung,
right.
But they did tell me that during surgery there was more air outside the lung than there was inside it. So they've had to take care of that. Again, that's something that they don't seem to be too concerned about. She has sustained a decent fracture about midway down her back that was putting pressure on her spinal cord.
Okay, and that's the vertebrae. Are they describing it as a displaced vertebrae?
Well, they put a rod in it. It was a fracture.
Right.
It was a Fennigan fracture. So
right.
They have put a rod in there, or I believe a couple of screws. I can't be accurate on that.
No.
But there was definitely some major surgery. Now, that went very, very well,
yeah.
The surgery to her back. And the concern is that she still has no feeling to her legs at this stage. But she's the spinal cord is not severed. It's obviously had some sort of trauma to it. But they're sort of hoping that maybe it was just a little bit of pressure from the fractured vertebrae that was putting pressure on the spinal cord that's created some sort of bruising, swelling that will hopefully come right. But time will tell.
So the operation late yesterday that went for a number of hours, the doctors seem to be okay, that everything they wanted to do has been able to be done.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
They're very pleased with the way everything's gone. They're very happy with what they're able to do.
And you mentioned the spinal cord. Obviously, it's so vital. Have they been able to relieve the pressure with that vertebra? Have they been able to get all that she's now resting as comfortably as she can be?
Yes, they have been. They're comfortable that they've achieved what they wanted to.
Yeah.
Just the ongoing concern is obviously what's happened before they were able to do that. But they're very pleased with everything they've been able to do.
Okay.
And they've been very good. They've been terrific.
Yeah. Is she okay? I mean, I know that she's got no feeling in her legs and things, but is she personally okay, I guess, is what I'm saying?
She is. Yeah. Physically, she's terrific. Blood pressure, everything else, vital signs are all great.
Mm.
But she's in very good spirits. She's been super.
Yeah. No, look, she's not a regular name that our listeners would know, but we are a racing family, and I know the National Jockeys Trust and these people help out, and I know it's probably not at this stage, but we are a racing family, and we want to pass on to Kate, and particularly Kate's family, that a lot of people are thinking of her. A lot of people obviously know Kate a lot better than we do, because she's a track work rider. She's there every morning. She does a job. She loves what she does. And our thoughts are certainly with Kate and with the family, that a full recovery in time can take place. So, Craig, you can simply pass that on. I've had a lot of people come to me, particularly through social media, that are saying the same, that we may not know Kate's name, but she's in racing, and we wish her all the very best. So you can simply pass that on to her, mate.
I will. Thank you very much, Andrew. Appreciate
Good on
it.
You, Craig. Thanks, mate.
Bye-bye.
Craig Ritchie joining us there. Emotional at the end, and in some way makes me emotional, but our thoughts are with Kate Nipperis, who had that terrible incident yesterday, and as Craig said, it was simply a freak accident, and we've just got to hope that things are okay, and let's pray for her. Brett Devine joins us from the Australian Turf Club. Brett, I know that you heard the end of that, and I know the ATC will be working very much closely with Craig and with the National Jockeys Trust and the local Jockeys Association in helping Kate as much as you can into the future.
Yes, good morning, Andrew. And we most certainly do echo your sentiments, and very much so. Kate is in our thoughts, and on behalf of the club and, of course, Racing East Wales, we will always look to help as best we can. And
yeah.
As I say, our thoughts are with her, and I guess we can take some comfort from that interview with Craig that so far things seem to be progressing as best as they can.
Yeah, exactly. Racing, we're at Rose Hill tomorrow, the Winter Challenge, and it's not long because we've already broadcast to our listeners this morning some stars that are trialling. It's not far away now.
Look, that's right, Andrew, and I was over there myself this morning, and a lot of interest, of course, and I think people are really excited about about the upcoming races with Winks and so forth. But as you say, look, Rosehill Gardens on Saturday, it is the Winter Challenge, and great interest in Winks' trainer, with Chris Waller looking for just two winners to break his record from last year, the record number of Sydney winners. So, look, we'll be celebrating the birth of the horse's birthday on Saturday as well, Ben's, with some free cupcakes. And look, Rosehill Gardens really is taking shape ahead of the spring with that refurbishment going on. All's on track for that to be finished before the start of the spring carnival and Golden Rose Bound September 10. And look, you've mentioned a couple of spring starts coming up. Well, Capitalist, who trialled as well this morning, is due to run on the 6th of August on Saturday week at Rosehill, at Royal Randwick.
Yep.
And that's Bledisloe Cup Festival Day. And of course, on the 20th of August, again at Randwick, Warwick Stakes Day with the return of Winks. So, really urging people to go to theatc.com.au, avail themselves of all the great ticket offers and hospitality options at both Rosehill Gardens and Royal Randwick, and get in early for what's going to be a fantastic spring with three chances to see the Mighty Mare Winks.
Yeah, for sure. So it's all on one web page, which is simply
theatc.com.au. Sorry, Ben. I'm frozen from those trials. I'm not normally over there in that cold weather.
Come on, you can straighten up. I'll give you a second chance. That one and only web page is
theatc.com.au. Theatc.com.au. Plenty of offers, ticket offers there. And look, you can even look as far ahead as Melbourne Cup Day, which is one of the biggest days of the year here in Sydney. And book your tickets early because they go pretty quickly.
Yeah, they do. All right, mate, we'll talk to you over the weekend. Thanks for your time.
Fabulous. Good luck to all the punters. Thank you, Andrew.
Alex Stedman's joining us from racingandsports.com.au with another holiday. Fair dinkum. Simon Dinopoulos, anyone would be thinking, Alex, he doesn't like me. I took holidays, and when I come back, he's off. What's going on there?
It is unbelievable. He's been out of the office more than he's been in the office this year. But
superstars. Superstars, they get ahead of themselves, Alex. You just stay on the ground there, mate, and everything will be all right?
Sounds good. I don't want to turn Hollywood like Simon.
Now, looking at Rose Hill, we're on a soft track. The weather's been good. There's just not a lot of heat in the sun at this stage, but we know, again, what we're dealing with a softish track. What have you found for us?
Yeah, look, we'll kick off pretty early in the program with race 4, number 7, Extensible. This mare has long shown plenty of promise, and it was there for all to see first up at Rosehill a fortnight ago. She settled midfield and was finding the line beautifully to finish second behind El Lou. It was a strong first up effort over 1,350 metres, and she'll no doubt have taken improvement from the outing. Only lightly raced, the mare looks capable of working through her grade this campaign, and this progression, it can definitely start on Saturday. Race 4, number 7, Extensible.
Okay, so one for Peter and Paul Snowden. Kieran McAvoy doing a great deal of riding for him while Blake Shin's been off. And just on that, for people that may not have heard it late yesterday, Blake Shin won that appeal over that ride on Thud from June. He'll be back riding on Wednesday. So Blake Shin back riding on Wednesday. So that's race 4, number 7. Where's the second one, Alex?
Race 8, number 4, McCreary. I selected this horse last week off a freshen up when he almost got things done at Canterbury and had a pretty nice each-way quote, might I add. It was a big run over 1,550 metres, which came off a minor setback. On Saturday, he drops back in trip from that outing and has the blinkers applied first time. And it could prove to be a masterstroke, as this race overall doesn't possess much in terms of depth. A UK import, McCreary, has performed well since arriving in Australia. Even so, he's yet to run up to the best figures he produced whilst in the UK. It highlights he does have room for improvement on what he did produce last start. But with some added fitness off that freshen up with the blinkers on, he could be ready to showcase what he's capable of. Race 8, number 4, McCreary.
Yeah, I was on it last week. Bowman takes the ride here, so that's race 8, number 4, McCreary. And you must have one in the last.
Yes, I definitely do. Race 9, number 10, Cheeky Babe. David Pfeiffer has long held a big opinion of this mare. It's justified as well, looking at her record. She was good on resuming over this trip at Canterbury last month and has been kept ticking over with a Randwick barrier trial. She's been scratched a number of times this campaign because of heavy tracks about. It looks on Saturday, though, as if it is going to be a case of patience paying off. Cheeky Babe, she tends to settle back and run on in her races. This again looks the case on Saturday, where she should thrive with a hot speed anticipated up front. Cheeky Babe can hopefully round out what will be a winning day for us at Rose Hill, race 9, number 10.
All right, so the three there for Rose Hill, race 4, number 7, race 8, number 4, and race 9, number 10. As I say, it's a soft-rated track there. Let's hope it's not too bad when we get out. It's been not a bad week of weather with at least some sunshine. Good on you, Alex. Good luck.
Thanks, Andrew.
Alex Steadman joining us from racingandsports.com.au. By the way, before 10 o'clock, Greg Hayes and also the Greyhounds will be covered. That'll be coming up in just a moment, a preview of what's coming up on the weekend. We're going to try for Chris Wather in a couple of minutes and see how we go. Mark Quinn's online from Port Macquarie, where, Mark, they officially opened that new track of yours today.
Yeah, we can't wait, Andrew. It's been a long time coming, and it looks sensational at the moment. I was fortunate enough to gallop as close as seen on Tuesday morning on it. We had to go out wide, and they hardly marked it on Tuesday, so it looks terrific.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, tell us what that gallop was like of explosive scene, because I don't mind him tomorrow. You're taking a nice little claim here again with Andrew Atkins.
Yeah, and you know, Andrew was apprenticed to me before he went down to Sydney, so I've got a connection with him, and I tried to always support him when I have one good enough to take down there. So, yeah, no, he worked really well. He had a couple of days off in the paddock after his Grafton run, and I haven't had to do much with him since because he's fit and just a matter of keeping him happy and everything, and he just had a little gallop to blow his cobwebs out, and no, he's fine.
Is Barrier 1 good or bad with this horse, mate?
No, it's no problem. You know, he drew the one, I think, when he ran second in the country championship heat at Port a couple of years ago. You know, it gives him a bit more options other than just having to go back. Because
yep.
We've tried riding forward off sort of bag gates and just over races where if he can get cover from the one in the first half a dozen, I think being 2 kilos over the minimum after Andrew's claim, I reckon he'll be in it right to the end.
Yeah, exactly. The run at Grafton, were you satisfied with the way, you know, you had to ride the horse the way it finished?
Yeah, me and Matty Padgett, we were sort of both different on where we should be. He sort of thought he should be back a little bit further than I thought, and I usually leave it up to him, and I just feel we made an error in being too far back on the course the way it raced that day. I don't think we could have ever beat the winner. The winner from John Smurden's horse was probably too good, but we probably should have run second.
Yep.
And he just got held up a couple of times in the straight when he was looking for gaps and just sort of stopped his momentum.
Yeah, understand. Looking forward to seeing him, and it sounds like he comes down. Do you just come down the morning of the race?
Well, I will tomorrow because I've got a couple trialing after the last report today, so it's just too hard to leave at 6 o'clock this evening. We'll head away about 2 in the morning and pop him in a box of Gerald Ryan's for a couple of hours and have some breakfast and go to the races.
Well, good luck, mate. Hope it's safe travels. Enjoy the day. It's a big day for Port Macquarie. I know you've had a couple of meetings there, but I hope the official opening today goes off really well.
The day's a cracker up here, Andrew. I'm sure I'll get a good crowd and it'll be a great day.
Good on you. Thanks a lot, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Mark Quinn, the trainer of Explosive Scene, who's lining up tomorrow, race 3, number 1. Spoke with Kim Waugh off-air today about Oxford Poet. She thinks the handicapper might have been a bit harsh with the horse going up 3 kilos, but certainly couldn't be happier with Oxford Poet going into the race tomorrow. Gerald Ryan feels Harper's Choice in the first, has had a couple of placings so far, goes up 100 and has trained on really well. That's Harper's Choice for Gerald Ryan. The other one, Matt Dale, with Yasnat. That was the other one I wanted to mention tomorrow. Yasnat has been well placed, according to Matt, against his own age and sex tomorrow, albeit a big open field, but Yasnat in pretty good order going into tomorrow. And he also updated on Fell Swoop, not likely to have a jump out till late August, but certainly ticking over extremely well and is expected to line up first up in the Scalacci is Fell Swoop. That's the latest from the Matty Dale stable, and that's at course at Canberra. A big weekend of harness racing. Amanda Rando joins us from Harness Racing New South Wales. Amanda, take us through what's unfolding over the weekend.
Yeah, look, Andrew, at Menangle on Saturday night, we've got a couple of Group 3 races. We have a free-for-all pace and also the Precocious Trotters free-for-all there. So some good racing at Menangle. And then also on Sunday, Newcastle has a big meeting. They've got the Alabar New South Wales Breeders' Challenge finals. So there are the regional finals, I should clarify. So there's six Group 3 races for the two-year-olds, three-year-olds, four-year-olds, colts, geldings, fillies, mares and tyres. So, yeah, some great racing ahead over the next 2 days.
Yeah, that's a big meeting on Sunday for the regional Breeders' Challenge finals, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is, and it's a meeting that's sort of picked up momentum. So I think the inaugural regional finals were run in 2010, and this Sunday series has picked up huge nominations, which is great to see, in some really competitive races. So the series is growing momentum there.
Yeah, we look forward to it. Don't forget, if you want a podcast, Everything in Trotting, the weekly Trots Talk podcast, is available on the Sky Sports Radio webpage at skysportsradio.com.au. Click on the radio podcast area and everything will be right. Trots Talk podcast with Amanda Rando. Have a good weekend.
Will do, and I'll speak to the listeners tomorrow morning for the Menangle preview, and also Sunday for Newcastle's preview.
Yeah, that'll be it after 10:30 tomorrow. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Andrew.
Amanda Rando, the representative from the media for Harness Racing New South Wales.